The Natural Nurse with Ellen Kamai and Dr. Z, Mondays at 1 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome, folks, to another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Dr. Z, Dr. Eugene Zamfiro, naturopathic physician and professor at the University of Bridgeport, and your host for this week's edition. Dr. Kamai has the week off, and we have a great program in store for you today, that's for sure. We have Dr. Matthew Perchemlides, a licensed naturopathic physician, who went to the University of Bridgeport College of Naturopathic Medicine, and also he has a master's in human nutrition. He did work at Yale Griffin Integrative Medical Center, but right now he's actually at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Tulsa, Oklahoma, doing his residency in naturopathic oncologic care. Integrative oncology is its subject, which we're going to be talking about today. And the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, where Dr. Persh joins us from, is a unique oncologic setting which offers all of its patients integrative approach to their care, where every patient is cared by a medical doctor and a naturopathic doctor and a full complementary host of practitioners, including dietitians, psychologists, acupuncturists, and other practitioners. So we're really excited to have Dr. Matthew. Dr. Perch, are you there?
Yes, sir. Great to hear your voice.
Hey, you too. Dr. Perch was one of my superstar students several years ago, and now he's certainly carving his own. Hopefully all that practice management helped you out there, buddy.
Oh, it certainly did. I left UBC and I'm very well prepared to enter naturopathic medicine, and really want to thank you for your help while I was a student, and thank you and the Natural Nurse, as well as Progressive Radio, for giving me the opportunity to speak on behalf of Cancer Treatment Centers of America and share some of my experiences with you.
Yeah, it's an honor and such a wonderful topic, because so many, I mean, I've been seeing commercials with Cancer Treatment Centers of America on the air, and you know, of course, being a non-commercial radio program, of course, we're not really endorsing certain, you know, commerciality things, but we're certainly giving information out there to people so that they can make educated choices and just want to really know a little bit about conventional oncology care versus an integrative care. So let's start by talking a little bit about, let's talk about the, you know, 7,000-pound elephant in the room, cancer.
Yeah.
That's what drew you to do your residency there, and that's the word that when people hear it, it just kind of, they get all tense and cringed up, or it conjures up, you know, terrible types of things. What's your take on cancer, Matthew? And you know, what are they teaching you there at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America in your residency?
Well, you know, my residency is focused in a hospital-based setting, and like you said, we have a full complement of all of the professionals who are involved in delivering care to our patients. So we're all dealing with, like you said, that 7,000-pound monster in the room, cancer. And for today's purposes, I'll give cancer a simple definition, although really it's anything but simple. People will give a number of 100 or 200 distinct conditions defined by the word or encompassed in the word cancer. But what we're really talking about is a process in which two major factors have coincided. One, the cells in the body, a collection of cells in the body, have stopped obeying the regular laws of cells. They're growing too fast. They're growing too numerous. They're growing outside of the bounds that they're supposed to grow within. They're not obeying the normal life cycle of a cell. Every cell is supposed to be initiated, live its process, do its function, and then shut off and be replaced. Cancer cells ignore that last step. They're not shut off. They're not replaced. They simply continue to replicate. Coinciding with that, to actually make this cancer, though, is a dysfunction of our immune system. Our immune system is built with inherent ability to shut down such cells. In fact, such cells are being produced in everyone's body all the time, but the immune system is taking care of it. So for what we call cancer to actually develop, we need both that problem with the cell to occur and at the same time a dysfunction with our immune system. To get that back on track, to take care of that abnormal cell growth and that dysfunction of the immune system, at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, we're learning what the potential is if we bring together all of the different professionals who are involved in delivering care. We want all the best of what humans have discovered about how to care for our immune systems, how to care for ourselves, and how to fight cancer, all brought to the table at the same time for the betterment of the patient. So, what has chemotherapy accomplished, and what are its benefits? What has radiation oncology accomplished, and what are its benefits? What's the potential for surgery? But let's not stop there. Let's then see what herbal medicine has discovered. What can it do against cancer and to support our body? What vitamins and minerals are going to be of benefit? What's the diet? What's the lifestyle aspect? What needs are there on a psycho-emotional basis? We have a psycho-neuro-immunology department at our hospital. We have a physical therapy department. So we're bringing together all of the different pieces to support that patient, refusing to let anything not go onto the table. What's the best that humans have to offer, and let's put it all on the table for the betterment of the patient. That
wow,
is the grade of oncology.
That's amazing. So you're treating patients, not just the cancer, I guess.
Oh, that's very well said. I like that phrase very much. Absolutely. You know, when someone hears that word cancer, like you said, it sends fear into all of us. What we're trying to do is give the patient back their hope. And when they're asked to choose one modality over another, listen, you have to either go the conventional route or the alternative route. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. One doctor is not going to work with the other. That doesn't leave them feeling hopeful. That leaves them feeling worried. Did I make the right decision? That leaves them feeling conflicted. Well, my friend brought me some information about something else. Should I be pursuing that? We want all of that on the table at the same time, and the appropriate professionals there to help them analyze it and decide on which aspect is best for them. That's what really gives them hope. Knowing that you've done everything that you can do is what gives a person hope, and that's what we're trying to do with integrative oncology.
Well, I know there's been a lot written about causes of cancer and lots of progress since supposedly President Nixon declared war on cancer back in the 70s, I believe. But so much has changed in oncology since then, where, some people were really fearful of chemo and radiation and would then go, completely to, like full program and macrobiotics or full naturopathic program. And then you have the other side where the oncologists would just basically say, well, that's all quackery. The only thing that you have to do is chemo and radiation and or surgery, and that's it. And it seems like there have been, cases of people that on both sides going one way or the other without a cross communication or integration that have done okay. But I guess, what's the statistics, Matthew? What about this war on cancer that's been fought?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. This war on cancer that we've been waging for all of these years, and I'd extend it back before even that timeline. I'd say it goes back to, when humans first really kind of stepped out and started living in a socialized manner within communities. I think at that point, and it was actually a study that Dr. Birdsall had brought to my attention. He's the director of the naturopathic department, CTCA-wide nationally, and he brought a study to my attention that looked back at human history, going back to ancient Egypt, and shows a steady progression in the incidence of cancer, suggesting that it's something involved in the way that we live and what we're doing to ourselves and to each other through lifestyle changes, through adulteration of the environment. It's actually making cancer increase among our population. So as far as that war is going, right now, overall, as a population, we're losing. Now, intellectually, what has the science of oncology gained? Well, there we're making huge strides, but we haven't quite disseminated it down into the day-to-day lives of people. So when it comes to a practice standard, we know a great deal, and each individual who faces a diagnosis of cancer, we're very well equipped to help that person. But the incidence of cancer is going up and up, unfortunately. 1 in 3 females will face this diagnosis. 1 in 2 males in this country will face the diagnosis. That means that there's not a single family in this country who won't be touched by cancer. But if we shift topics for a second and talk about what do we know about how to intervene and help those people, there we know a great deal. And so if we look, like you said, at the statistics, what we find is that there are those folks who follow a purely, I'll call it alternative, meaning that they're not doing chemotherapy, they're not doing radiation, they're not doing surgery, not doing one of the 3 main conventional treatments. There are those folks who do very well. And there are folks, like you said, on the opposite side of the fence who just do conventional and do very well. But where we're finding the greatest percentage of people making the biggest strides is when we mix those two therapies. And so if we actually look, now this isn't published by most institutions, but we can look at what the national cancer survivor rates are, and we can look at the rates that CTCA is achieving, or CTCA being, in my opinion, the best example of a fully integrative oncology model. We find that when we look at advanced stage, let's take breast cancer for example, advanced stage breast cancer survival rates. Nationally, there is a 71% survival rate after half a year. In a fully integrative model, there's a 93% survival rate. After 1 year, nationally, there's a 60% survival rate. In a fully integrative model, an 88%. So we see, you know, 22, 28 percentile points difference when we fully integrate that person's care. But now I'm just talking survival. I haven't talked quality of life.
Right.
I haven't talked the experience of receiving that care, how they feel going in and out of the hospital, how they feel getting blood work back, how quick their care is, how their family feels receiving that care for their loved ones. All of those are aspects as well that an integrative model takes into account, trying to factor in all those different pieces.
Yeah, so let's actually get into some of the interesting things about cancer. So you gave a definition that was, you know, pretty good, but you know, at the cellular level, clearly there has to be changes in the DNA happening in order for these mutations to then sort of begin. So is the integrative model addressing preventing these mutations from happening, and what can we be doing?
Yeah, that's really the cornerstone or the key feature that the naturopaths are taking on in this integrative model. And so we can talk about kind of 3 different portions of this. We can talk about the individual who has never faced a cancer diagnosis themselves. We can talk about an individual who is currently dealing with an active cancer diagnosis. And we can talk about people who have survived and are now post-treatment, but they have a cancer diagnosis in their history. For all of those people, like you said, there is the potential for a DNA mishap and for cellular replication that we call cancer, and for a dysfunction of their immune system that's not shutting down those cancer cells. In these individuals, we can actually apply the same general knowledge to take care of all of them. This all comes back to the major lifestyle aspects that really any naturopath would talk about in any setting. And that's almost what makes this so wonderful, is that this is the wisdom of our grandmothers. This is the basic naturopathic teaching about how to take care of people. But it's also what is profoundly impacting cancer care. These lifestyle aspects being, what do we take into our bodies on a daily basis? 3 times a day, 5 times a day, as we choose our meals and our snacks? What kind of exercise do we engage in? How much relaxation is worked into our life? How much of a sense of purpose and meaning does our life have? how much do we acknowledge and embrace loving relationships in our life? Now, that starts to sound a little bit wishy-washy. Is this guy really talking medicine? Is this really what the future of integrative oncology looks like in this country? Honestly, it is, and it's been proven. Dr. Dean Ornish has proven programs for reversal of stage 1 and in process of reversing stage 2, proving this in clinical trials, prostate cancer, just with lifestyle. And if we ever doubted Dr. Dean Ornish, well, he did this with advanced cardiovascular disease. He scooped up guys who were heading in for coronary artery bypass graft, put them on lifestyle management with those five ingredients: diet, exercise, relaxation, purpose and meaning in life, embracing the loving relationships. Those aspects were prioritized. He reversed cardiovascular disease. Unlike the patients who went through actual surgery, who typically have a recurrence of a cardiovascular event within 6 months, his patients are going on 2 decades without repeat events. And he's doing the same thing with prostate cancer. And, I expect, we'll go into cancer type after cancer type, employing the same things. And so that's what I'm doing with my patients. When I have a patient sitting in front of me who's dealing with an active diagnosis, not only am I talking to them about the supplements that are necessary to address the various aspects of their cancer, but I'm also talking about those five pieces: their diet, their exercise, their relaxation, their sense of purpose and meaning in life, and their embracing the loving relationships in their life.
Now, sometimes when patients are, you know, faced with a diagnosis of cancer, you have several things, attack modes that you can do against the cancer. You can shut off its blood supply. You can try to teach it to behave itself. You can prevent it from spreading. You can kill it outright. You can starve it. So there's, you know, and I know that's a militaristic way of looking at things. You can also try to live in harmony with it and try to, you know, work on the mental aspects of what created the cancer, clean up the environmental things that may have damaged the DNA, flood the body with certain antioxidants to repair molecules to sort of repair the thing. Use nutrition, I guess, to augment the chemo and radiation for actually causing apoptosis, which I'd like you to define for the listeners out there too. So let's talk about that, and then we could talk about mitigating side effects of some of the allopathic kind of treatments, mainstream treatments, or whatever you, however you want to couch the phrase at this point. So let's talk about our strategy for someone comes in and they actually have cancer. You have to stop the cells from growing. Prevention at that point is that put sort of secondary, and you actually have to actively kill cells and whatnot?
Well, exactly, yes. At that point, the priorities do shift a little bit. However, what we know is that as long as the unhealthy environment exists, the environment that is supporting the cancer cells exists. So as much as is possible, we do encourage the folks to take on the healthy lifestyle aspects, those prevention pieces, even while they're in active treatment. Mm-hmm. And we find that this does a great deal for their lived experience going through these treatments, their quality of life. If you encourage somebody to embrace the loving relationships in their life during treatment, this only stands to benefit them as they're going through these more harsh treatments. But then, like you said, we're also addressing intracellular environment. We're looking at what's gone wrong in cellular division and the surveillance of the immune system. So, for example, I'll just throw out a couple of simple examples. While a cell is dividing, there are points during which the immune system is supposed to check in on that cell and see that it's dividing in the correct manner, give it the green light, if it looks okay, put on the brakes, apoptosis, like you said, which is pre-programmed cell death. Error is made, or that cell has lived out its life term and it's supposed to shut off. Right. When that mechanism goes wrong, vitamin D3 has actually been shown to support the aspect of the immune system that's responsible for catching errors, cancer cells, during cellular division. So many of your listeners may be aware of vitamin D3 as a major component when we're talking about bone health. Yeah. But in this setting, that's just a pleasant side effect that we're going to strengthen a person's bones by supplementing D3. We're actually checking D3 levels, serum D3 levels, on all of our oncology patients. And we're dosing our supplements of D3 to get their blood levels up to over 60. Now, for the average Joe off the street not dealing with cancer, a blood level of 30 is adequate for D3. But we're pushing that, and we're pushing it because we're trying to turn on that inherent aspect of the immune system that's supposed to surveil. That's one example of trying to get the innate immune system back online. Omega-3 fatty acids work in a very similar way to help improve that intracellular environment. They help with cell-to-cell communication. Vitamin omega-3 also helps to boost up white blood cell counts. It works as an anti-inflammatory. So we get a myriad of benefits from these things that are improving intracellular environment. One of my favorites, actually what I did my doctoral thesis there at UBCNM on, is coenzyme Q10. And many of your listeners may be aware of this. It's used for fatigue issues. It's used for protecting heart tissue. And what's amazing about CoQ10 is, like so many things that the body produces on its own, and CoQ10 is produced in our livers, it has a number of jobs. It floats over to the cells in our body, and it helps produce energy. After it produces energy, it changes forms, and now it's a very powerful antioxidant, protecting our healthy cells. After it works as an antioxidant, it works to regulate that intracellular environment that you were talking about, the one that can go awry and start leading to poor communication within the cell and missing when cancer is developing and not being shut down.
Mm-hmm. What about shielding our DNA and some of the research on, you know, folic acid and SAMe and some of those other things, Matthew?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there, of all of the things that we're exposed to in our environment, our bodies are equipped to handle. However, we can flood the system. There's a bucket theory of how much our immune systems can take, how much our organs of detoxification can take before that bucket is filled and we start having symptoms. Alpha-lipoic acid, SAMe, selenium, all of these things are involved in the processes of protecting healthy cells, supporting the organs of detoxification, largely the liver, in packaging up these toxins and getting them out of the body. So the role of antioxidants, whether it's coming from our diet, whether it's coming from supplements, is incredibly important in not only preventing the onset of illness, but in cleaning up during treatment and getting the person back on their feet and on the right path after treatment.
Now, you mentioned antioxidants during treatment. Now, I know from in my local area here, you know, as a local naturopathic physician, there's groups of oncologists who seem to be, that basically tell you to get off of everything that you've been taking. Don't take any supplements, no vitamins, no anything during. And then you have more educated folks who have read the literature and find out that some of these antioxidants are okay during conventional chemo and radiation, and actually some are beneficial. Can you go over what your training is there at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America on that particular issue?
Absolutely. You know, and you're exactly right. So many people, when they go to speak with their radiation oncologist or their medical oncologist who deals with chemo or even their surgeon, they just say, get off of everything. And I can understand this mentality. If I was on board the space shuttle, what would I do? I wouldn't touch a thing. Keep your hands off everything. I don't know what any of it's going to do. So that's their training. Their training is limited in that fashion, so they're playing it safe. It's understandable. However, if you have a physician who is expertly trained in this area, like naturopaths are, you don't have to be willing to give up the potential benefits. So during something like radiation, there are certain antioxidants that will decrease the benefit of radiation. Certain doses of beta-carotene will decrease the benefits of radiation. Certain doses of N-acetylcysteine, of alpha-lipoic acid, of coenzyme Q10 will decrease the benefits. However, there are some safe levels of those things. What if radiation is being administered to the medial chest area and the heart might be in jeopardy? Well, we can use a dose of CoQ10, but you have to know just how much. And that's the specialized training of the naturopathic oncologist. Mm-hmm. During chemotherapy, well, there are actually things that some people would consider antioxidants that boost the benefits. We talked about omega-3 a little while ago. Omega-3 fatty acids boost how much of a benefit you get from a chemotherapy called 5-FU. Curcumin boosts the benefits of some of the chemotherapies that are administered. You have to know which ones, and you have to individualize. That's part of naturopathic training that we received at University of Bridgeport, is to think of each individual as just that, an individual, and to look at exactly what they're receiving, exactly what their needs are, and tailor that. Not all antioxidants are bad during therapy. Some are, and you need that individualized naturopathic attention to tease out which ones are appropriate. And you need a medical oncologist, a radiation oncologist, willing to have that dialogue.
What about other types of nutritional things? Like, you know, when we look at, as you know, I'm a fervent advocate of botanical medicine, and actually was involved in your training of that. But you look at how oncology is practiced in China, and there's a lot of plants that, if you look through the literature, actually prevent the bone marrow from failing when patients are getting chemo and radiation. What's the latest research on some of those interesting plants and mushrooms and herbs that we find all around the globe to aid in our cancer treatment?
That's a great, great question. You know, astragalus is one that I was reading about just recently. And astragalus we've been using to actually boost the benefits that patients receive from platinum-based chemotherapies. And this isn't a trial or two. When I last ran the search query on the medical database, there were 34 randomized clinical trials on just that topic, using astragalus to boost the effectiveness of platinum-based chemotherapies. Now, what was happening at the same time? Not only did we see an increased rate of cancer cells dying off, we saw less side effects, the patients had greater stamina, and largely that was attributed to just what you said. We were supporting the marrow. This person's white blood cells, their red blood cells, and their platelets were not nearly as dramatically influenced, compromised by the chemotherapy as patients who did not receive astragalus along with their platinum-based chemotherapy. Now, I said a minute ago that we have to be careful, though, because each individual needs individualized attention. So would we use astragalus if we were talking about an immune system-based cancer? A patient comes in with leukemia. Is this a safe herb to use?
Yeah.
Well, if not, we may often be pushing that person's cancer now. So again, we need that kind of individualized, focused attention.
Right. So there's certain things that... Well, I've certainly read a lot about melatonin and our immune system. You know, a lot of people use melatonin for insomnia, and it's a product of tryptophan metabolism, serotonin metabolism. But I do believe it's a very potent cancer remedy. What is melatonin? How does it work? And how should people use it safely? Oh, you know what, Matthew? I hear the music, so that means it's time to take a quick break. So have a cup of tea, get some water. We'll be back with more radio. So stay tuned right here to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Come to the Progressive Radio Network each day for the brightest progressive minds in the world.
Nikki, I'm so excited to be on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I'll be able to talk to you live, answer your questions, and work with you for your own patient rights. Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. See you on Sunday, 5 p.m.
Hey, Hey, did you miss your favorite show? Don't worry. PRN has you covered. Just log on to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com and go to the archive page where you can choose from any of our great programs. Listen or download shows from yesterday or even ones dating months back. The Progressive Radio Network, striving to make your lives easier.
Come to the Progressive Radio Network each day for the best progressive minds in the world.
And we're back with more of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Thanks for staying with us, or if you're just joining us, thanks again for listening to Progressive Radio Network. And, of course, our guest, if you've been listening, is Dr. Matthew Perchemlides, and he is a licensed naturopathic physician. He's a graduate of University of Bridgeport College of Naturopathic Medicine. I was his teacher and mentor, and I'm very excited that he's taken a residency in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in a facility that comprises the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, and he's studying for training as a naturopathic oncologist, and then he can become board certified in that discipline. And he's providing us some great information about how naturopathic medicine works hand in hand with standard oncology and other disciplines to provide an integral care for patients with cancer. So welcome back, Matt.
Hey, thanks very much, Dr. Z.
Great. Listen, let's talk about melatonin. Before the break, we were mentioning that, and I know it's quite a fascinating supplement out there.
Absolutely, and it's one that I'd say I put about 75% of my patients on the first time that I sit down with them. We were talking earlier in the show about the role of the immune system when it comes to surveying cells during cellular division and catching mistakes early before one cell becomes two and cancer starts to take a foothold. During that process, we talked before about vitamin D3, but melatonin fits into that part of the equation as well. It's during that piece of the equation, when one cell has the potential to turn into two cancer cells, that melatonin is responsible for turning on apoptosis, cellular death, and shutting that cell down. For that reason, a large number of our patients are on melatonin both during treatment as well as in what I'll call survivorship or aftercare, after their conventional therapies are done, and we're trying to support their immune system, create that healthy environment for their immune system to function for the long haul afterwards to prevent reoccurrence. Nice side effect of melatonin. A lot of folks show up because of the stress associated with their diagnosis, because of a number of lifestyle factors. Their sleep is compromised. Like you said, melatonin is great for sleep. And so a pleasant side effect is often a better night's sleep. But also, like we were discussing before the break, we have to be careful, and each individual needs individualized attention. Melatonin can actually push the immune system and encourage cancer development, I'm sorry, not cancer development, but cancer progression if that cancer is an immune-based cancer. So again, naturopathic oncologist needs to apply individualized attention to each patient.
So do you mean like a lymphoma or a leukemia type of?
Exactly, yes, thank you.
Oh. So it wouldn't be good for those folks.
Would not be good for those folks.
Wow.
We would prioritize other supplements, the D3, for example, for those patients. And this comes up a lot, and we get into some very nitty-gritty work when it comes to supporting the immune system and folks that do have leukemias or lymphomas. Maitake, Coriolis, shiitake, all of these mushrooms that we use to support white blood cells, we use to support platelets in the body, we use to support the overall immune system, are contraindicated for some cancers. In others, we get wonderful benefits. One of the ones that I pass out regularly is a liquid fraction of maitake. Does wonders for boosting up the immune system. And some people will ask me, my medical oncologist is already giving me Neulasta or Neupogen, a pharmaceutical that very quickly and very dramatically pushes the marrow to dump out more platelets or more white blood cells. Why do I need to bother with these mushrooms? Well, it just goes back to nourishing the system. The marrow isn't inexhaustible. It does tire. It does get depleted. and these naturopathic interventions, prioritizing, like you were saying before the break, some of this traditional Chinese wisdom to use our mushrooms to nourish that part of the body. Now, not only does the platelets not drop as low, not only do the white blood cells not drop as low, but repeat doses of those heavy-duty pharmaceuticals continue to work, whereas in some folks, they're just too depleted, and the bodies, no matter what we do, won't put out those cells unless we're nourishing the system.
You mentioned the other group of patients whom had chemo radiation, now they have muscle aches, nerve damage, mouth sores, they lost their hair, things like that. Now, of course, if they're not going to the Cancer Treatment Centers of America and they're sort of listening to us now, are there things that they could do to get themselves back in shape and or boost themselves up, help with all these various side effects?
Absolutely. You know, first I would say, because there's so many different potential issues that can come up, and because each situation with each different chemotherapy, each different individual is going to be different, my first piece of advice would be, if you're not at an integrative center already and you can't become a patient of one for insurance or other reasons, seek a naturopathic oncologist through ONCANP, ONCANP.org, and look for a licensed naturopathic oncologist in your area. But to speak more directly to some of the concerns that you just brought up, a patient is receiving a chemotherapy that has some of the side effects that you just mentioned. Mouth sores, very common side effects, muscle aches and pains, neuropathy, being damage to the little nerve endings going out to the fingertips and toes. These are common side effects of a group of chemotherapies called taxanes. And one of the brilliant interventions, and actually one of the therapies that University of Bridgeport College of Naturopathic Medicine's own Dr. Jody Noe has published on, is the use of an amino acid called L-glutamine. L-glutamine comes as a powdered amino acid. Patients take it on a pretty aggressive basis during therapy. Tablespoon, 2-3 times a day. It can be used short duration immediately following chemotherapy. It can be used longer duration in more severe cases. And this is going to soak directly into all of the cells of the GI tract, everywhere from the mouth to the esophagus, the stomach, and straight on through, and help fortify those cells and decrease gastrointestinal side effects.
Does it help muscle aches too?
It helps muscle aches. It turns into a powerful antioxidant, glutathione, helps protect muscle aches, supports their metabolism. It helps in repairing nerve damage and protecting nerves.
Oh.
Absolutely. We use vitamin B6 in a similar capacity to protect the nerve endings. So there are a number of things with that same category of chemotherapies. We might go back to that fish oil that we talked about early. Melatonin decreases some of the side effects associated with that group of medications. Selenium that we talked about earlier to support the liver and detoxification helps not only with cancer prevention, also helps with symptoms and side effects.
What about the, we talked about, what cancer is and possibly on a cellular level, but what about the cause of cancer in its, with the significance of environmental exposures and pollution? So many people out there are applying pretty poisons to themselves, in as far as cosmetics and things, and they're using indoor products that make their house more polluted than the outside environment. Do you do any of that kind of background check, so to speak, on patients?
Absolutely. Huh? Absolutely we do, and patients are becoming more and more aware of this. I've had a patient come in with CLL, one of those immune system-based cancers, and she had been dealing with this diagnosis for some time. After speaking, we learned of a environmental exposure that she had sustained for some 30 years prior to the onset of her illness. It only came up in conversation with the naturopath. She had been in care for years prior, and this had never come to the forefront. Because naturopaths have that environmental medicine training, she then took that information to heart and went to other people in her life who had been in that same physical environment and found that several of her friends, family members, had the same cancer due to the same exposures. That might be a dramatic example, but we're all in daily contact with things that push cancer cell production and growth. A lot of people have heard about plastics in the news. There's a lot of buzz about BPA. I've got a little baby added to my family now, and we were very careful when we were picking baby toys out to make sure they all said BPA-free. We heard that this can push cancer cell formation and growth because it looks like an estrogen in the human body. But we actually find that all plastics, whether or not they're BPA-free or not, have components that are estrogenic-like. Almost all commercial cleaners and solvents have components that will encourage cancer cell growth. So much of our environment has been contaminated by factory farming of animals, by large corporations that really no single area of our life is free of those contaminants. The foods that we choose, whether they're organic or not, may be contaminated. The water that we drink, the air that we breathe, it's all out there. Now, what can we control? What can we actually influence? Well, certainly, like you said, the cleaners that we bring into our house. Look on those labels and see that there are ingredients that you recognize and know. You can absolutely get your house spick and span clean without heavy toxic synthetic chemicals that you can't pronounce. The paints that we put on our walls, the toys that we bring into our house, whether or not we drink out of plastic bottles, all of these things influence tremendously. Right. When people ask me, is organic really that important? It is. It's really that important. It's that healthy for the environment. It's that much healthier for you. You absolutely should, where you can, choose organic. Which ones do I have to buy? As much as you can. Is clean water really important? It absolutely is. These aren't just pop things that are going to come and go. Clean environment is the cornerstone to everyone's health.
And what about what I want to do is talk a couple more questions about cancer, and then I want to ask just in the last 15 or so minutes about specific cancers that seem to plague people. So one more question. Now, there's other lifestyle factors like the mind. We're living in a time, like they say in Ayurveda, a vatagenic time where we have our emails to get to, and we're being texted constantly, we're being bombarded, not only by the EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies and whatnot,
right,
but just the bombardment of information is keeping our bodies constantly on edge. Our adrenals make cortisol, stress hormones. That has to play a big role in cancer. What's your opinion on that, Dr. Perk?
Well, absolutely, you're right. And sometimes when we start talking about a mind-body connection, or we start talking about an influence of our lifestyle or state of emotions, people think this is fluff. They dismiss this as not scientific. And this couldn't be further from the truth. Now, in naturopathic training, we actually triple the number of courses in physiology and increase our concentration on pathophysiology, the development of abnormal human body interactions of our inner workings. We focus so much on physiology and how disease is created because we want to know where it's influenced. And when you get down to the nitty-gritty of how a body works, you see that when a person is dealing with emotional stress, whether that's work life, it's home life, it's dealing with their own health, it's dealing with their kids or their parents, like you said, their need to be able to respond to those constant stressors demands that their adrenal glands, little triangular glands, sits down on the kidney. Part of it puts out cortisol. Cortisol is a wonderful little hormone. It wakes you up in the morning. It gives you energy during the day, helps you deal with stress. But if it's constantly being provoked to put out more and more cortisol, a number of things happen. Cortisol floats over to the liver, pushes the liver to release sugar stores that your body needs to be able to deal with a stressful situation. But increased sugar in the bloodstream means that you have to produce more insulin. Increased insulin leads to imbalances in insulin production, leads to sometimes the potential for an insulin-like growth factor to increase in circulation. This is a type of growth factor that actually spurs the abnormal cellular division in the human body. And so when we get down to the physiology, There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's nothing wishy-washy about this type of science. This is not something that's of debate between a naturopath and a medical doctor. This is just the physiology that's in everyone's textbook. This is how stress works. This is how it pushes cancer cell development, and it's true across the board. Now, what if we go back and we have some chemicals in our environment, and we have some stress in our life, and we're not choosing the foods that we ought to be, and we're not embracing and spending time with the people that matter to us most in our lives, we're setting the environment for cancer cell growth. So we can't blame it on any one factor in isolation, but when you put all of those together and you top it off with a big scoop of stress, you're really putting the odds against yourself, right. And that's a lot of what naturopathic medicine addresses.
Yeah, it seems like very integrated, and it's about time that we looked at cancer as, not just an abnormal cell growth, but it's just a whole person illness. It affects, not only does it affect the family because you're kind of going through it, but looking at why people, trying to figure out why people developed it, I think is very important. Not to blame people and put a guilt trip on them, but
very
just so
point.
That you can kind of not recreate. It's just like, you know me, and I'm always in the herb garden and,
mm-hmm.
and working with trees and arborists and whatnot. And if I see a tree that's diseased, I'll think, well, I could cut the diseased limb off. You know, I could keep chopping it off, or I could send the soil in for a sample and see is there an imbalance in the soil? Is there enough light, nutrients? Is something, does it have a virus or some ants or some insects in it that have infested it, infestations and things, and all that plays a big role in cancer as well as most diseases, I guess.
Absolutely, and we find that across the board with chronic disease, whether we're talking about cardiovascular disease, we're talking about issues of chronic fatigue, we're talking about cancer. They're all multifactorial, and they all have large basis in our lifestyle. I listened to Dr. Elise Alschuler, a very well-known naturopathic oncologist, speak, and she said of the cancers that we're dealing with in the oncology community, 90% are preventable.
Wow.
That means that there are aspects of 90% of the cancers that our patients are suffering from that were contributed to by human activity. And like you said, this isn't to assign blame to people. This is to give people hope that there's something that they can do for themselves, for their family. I sit down with patients with men who have children, and they say, I have prostate cancer. Is this something that my son is going to have to deal with?
Right.
They're more concerned about their son than they are about themselves and their own suffering going through this. And I can very legitimately counsel them to say, this is something that the family can work on, that you can take on together. That gives them so much motivation. It's easy to dismiss lifestyle changes when we just do it for ourselves. But now you're doing it for your kids. You're taking on this extra work so that you can teach another way of living, so that we can fortify ourselves against those aspects that you can't control.
Tell us a little bit about how people could, in the last few minutes, it looks like we got about 3 or 4 minutes left in the program. Maybe you can give out your website and how to get in contact with you and people that want to correspond with you.
Oh, absolutely.
Matt?
Absolutely. Well, I'll give a couple of little pieces of contact information. The first I'll give is if people are interested in the hospital-based Cancer Treatment Centers of America, and this is for somebody with an active cancer diagnosis. The Cancer Treatment Centers treat all cancer types, and their contact information is cancercenter.com. They can also be reached at 800-615-3055, 800-615-3055, to speak with someone at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. If a person is interested in working with a naturopathic oncologist, they're working perhaps with a medical oncologist already, or they've already been through cancer treatment, and they're looking for naturopathic support in the community, ONCANP.org, that's ONCANP.org for naturopathic oncologist. General naturopathic information, it's naturopathic.org. For me, I have a very small private practice. at my private practice, I actually do not see cancer patients. I only see our cancer patients at CTCA.
Right.
But if people do have questions for me about general medicine or just to bounce a question, a general question off of me, I'm at Dr. Matthew Perch, that's PERCHND.com, and that's ND as in naturopathic doctor, Dr. Matthew Perch, ND.com.
So in the last minute or two, there's hope for people. People can live, people can do things beforehand just because they know that there's breast or prostate cancer or other cancers in their family. They can start living a straight and narrow life or whatever that is. Go see your local naturopath to learn what that is for yourself.
Absolutely.
Folks out there. But there's hope for people out there.
There's hope for people who have never dealt with cancer. There's lifestyles. There are supplements that can fortify you and keep you healthy and keep that cancer at bay. If you're going through treatment right now, there is hope. There are conventional and alternative treatments that can be combined to improve your outcome, to improve your quality of life. And if you have a cancer history, there is hope. There are things that you can do to keep that cancer at bay, to keep yourself recurrence-free. And if you're worried about friends, you're worried about family, you're worried about children, there is hope. There are lifestyle pieces and supplements that can improve the potential for all of us to remain cancer-free and to start improving those overall numbers that at first make it sound so scary, but really can offer hope in the future.
Yeah, because, you know, many people just, they hear the word and it's just, they should even change the word because it just connotes, you know, death to people. And I guess that's important that we take a step back and say, no, it doesn't have to go that way. Seek out Dr. Matthew and other people at around the world that are trained in this methodology, and certainly educate yourself. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with education.
Well, that's absolutely right. And sometimes, you know, when I tell a person, you know, I want you to take some vitamin D, some fish oil, I want you to be on some melatonin, take some green tea extract, send them out the door. Well, that doesn't mean as much. When you sit there and you break down the physiology, green tea changes your ability to recognize cancer cells. It decreases a cancer cell's ability to recruit blood vessels. Get into that physiology, and that's where the hope lies.
Right.
Is there really science behind relaxing every day? Is there really science behind seeking out love and meaning in my life? Is there really science behind the foods that I choose? There is, and that's where the hope lies. And you're right. The cornerstone to that is education. Education brings hope.
Great. Oh, boy, it's such a great pleasure to I take some personal pride in seeing how just what an incredible physician you've become, and I'm just so pleased. That's part of the reason why I helped start the Naturopathic College in Bridgeport and continue to do this work. I it's like sowing great seeds and seeing something take strong root, Matthew. I'm really glad that you were my guest.
I appreciate that very much, Dr. Z. Thanks for all of your mentorship in the past and ongoing, and thank you very much for the work that you're doing on Progressive Radio Network. I really appreciate the time speaking with you.
And that does it for another edition of Dr. Z and the Natural Nurse. Stay tuned to Progressive Radio Network and stay healthy, folks. Bye.